Look at the person next to you and say, I believe there's the best version of you. Go ahead. I believe there's a best version. A best version of you. Jesus knows the best version. So I want to start with some opening thoughts about Jesus Christ and Father God and the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. I pray, Father, I ask for a work of revelation in each heart, that there would come an openness to us, that you would speak from the life-giving presence of your word and transform us today, in Jesus' name. I had Glenn sing that song because the Bible says God so loved the world, and I've already said it before, but you know, the Lord didn't die for people that he actually hated or anything. He died for people he loved. In fact, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was saying, not my will, but thine be done, when he was there, I wonder, because he was really wrestling with a pure sense of human doubt about the pain that he was going to go through for our salvation. Could you just go to the garden with me just for a moment? Imagine Jesus facing the fact that he's going to be crucified. And what would cause him to go through with it? When he's praying that, if there's any way out of this, can I get out of this? Let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There's a little glimpse of what could have happened, and I believe it did happen, in the book of Hebrews when it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. I believe that he saw hundreds, if not millions, of faces, and he might have seen your face come to his heart, and he realized, I'm dying for Jess. I'm dying for Rosemary. I'm dying for Joan. I'm dying for Peggy. I'm dying for Glenn. I'm dying for you. I'm dying for everybody. Josh. It's amazing. John, Jimmy, everybody. Who knows all the faces that came to his mind right then at that spot? So the very heart culture of God is, I'm using some interesting language today, but a culture of your heart. God has a heart culture. The culture of his heart is love. And God will work in your life to bring forth the best version of who you are to him. In order to do that, you and I need the connection with God, and he initiates that connection. Let's go ahead and look at John 6:44. No one can come, Jesus said, to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You notice that language. No one can come to the Father, nope, to me, except unless the Father draws him. So, and he says, I will raise him up in the last day. So Jesus and Father God have initiated the fact that you came to him. No, not one of us. I mean, there's a hunger that starts to stir in a person's heart for reality and things like that. And you may think that it starts with you. Maybe pain is so great, but God oversees all of the events and stuff. He understands everything that's going on in everybody's heart, every single place. It's amazing, the computer that he has in his mind. And he knows every single thought of every single person. There's 7 billion people alive on the planet right now. So this is amazing that he knows everything that's going on in your heart. John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive him, he believed, and who believed his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. And then 1 John 4:16 says, so we've come to know and to believe the love that God has for us, and that's our hope today. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So the culture of God's heart is love. God is love. And if you abide in him, guess what's going to happen to you? There's going to be a love growing in your heart. And 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love bears all things. How many of you had something that you've just really gone through and God's born with you? Love believes all things. Have you anybody had somebody believe in you when you just didn't believe in yourself that you could make it? So that's the gift that we have in Father God through Jesus Christ. We have a gift given to us that changes us. How many of you hoped in something or someone or something? Way beyond your capacity to do it, God gives you a capacity to do it, doesn't he? He gives you the ability to start believing and hoping His will and His work to happen in somebody's life. And of course, aren't we all happy that love endures all things? Peter, in the Bible, Peter encountered the Lord's love for him. And I want us to run to this next verse. 1 Peter 3, and I've got a portion of 17 and a portion of 18 here. Let's just look at this, and then we'll get into this is kind of introductory a bit. Let's get into this. This is after Peter has been traveling, you know, growing in the Lord, and this is the last sentences of the second book that he's written, 2 Peter, the last chapter, the last couple of verses. I'll go ahead and encourage you to read it because it's about the last days. But here's what he's saying, the very last thing. Take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your stability. Does that describe today? Hello? Are you in agreement with that? He's saying you can lose your stability if you get carried away with the error of lawless people. Many of the church have lost their stability because they're carried away with the error of lawless people. But the remedy that Peter has is that you would grow in two things. Isn't that great that it's not a lot of things? It's just two things. He comes to the very end of this and says, you can lose your stability if you get carried away with the error of lawless people. How many of you have already done some of that? He says, I got a remedy for you, and it's called the grace and the knowledge. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the grace is a power. It's God's ability to work in you what you can't do in your own self. In other words, Jesus has a standard of truth. And I want you to know, Jesus Christ has a standard of truth. And if you want to know what it is, read the Bible. And it's not hard. It's not like you got to seek it out really deep. It's just sitting right there on the gold nuggets are sitting on the ground. You don't have to go very deep to understand there's right and there's wrong. And most people, when they get into it, they realize I'm not very good at living the right way. Is that right? And so that's where grace comes in. Grace comes in where you end up with the power to live because of a relationship with Jesus Christ that you couldn't do before. And the people who do not rely on the grace of God become very religious. And many people turn from the church because they're trying to live the truth without having the grace. And without the grace, it is impossible to live the standard of truth. Grace comes via the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It comes through the relationship that God has. He says, I want you connected with me. I want you connected with me. I want to pour my love into your life. I want you to know how deeply I cherish you. I want you to have the grace. And here's the vulnerability. I love the Lord because I had a very strong sin in my life. It was just really bugging me. And it's like I come to Him. And how many of you had these where you repent and then you go back and you repent and you go back? It's like the dog returning to his vomit. You know what I mean? It's like I'm tired of this. The pig to the slop. And I'll never forget. The Lord just graciously, lovingly, He's a whole lot kinder to you are than you are to yourself. And He says to me, son, would you just look at that? And I didn't want to look at it because it had become a point of shame to my heart. And He's like, just look at it. And I lifted up my chin and acknowledged the sin right there. Now, before I'd tried hard and tried hard and tried hard and tried hard and tried harder and tried harder and tried harder and tried harder. And He's about to give me grace. And it's different when you get grace. He says, just give it to right here. See that? Yeah, this is what you've been struggling with, right? So, yeah. Can I have it? Well, gosh, all that time I thought I'd given it to Him. Apparently, I had missed the grace. I had missed it. And next thing I know, he says, I acknowledged it as sin and I gave it to him. And this washing came over me. This thing lifted from me. This pain and pressure lifted out of my life. The sin, gone. Did it come back and try to tempt me? Yeah. But it wasn't the same after that because I had received the grace. And in that, I received knowledge. And the knowledge was that the Lord loved me in the area of my failure. In the area where I was vulnerable to temptation and because of past wounding and all things. He told me things like, hey, this is really not your problem. The problem is that you're trying to medicate your life because of hurt and wound. He would teach me stuff like that. And I started learning the grace. And when you learn the knowledge of who Jesus is, you learn that he's kind and he's caring and he wants to help you and he gives you grace. But you need to understand who he is. And many of us have we don't really have a complete or powerful, full revelation of who Jesus actually is. Maybe you have a little, maybe from way back, but here's the deal. It's going to take more. You know why? Because he actually knows what he created you for. I want us to put up one other scripture here. It says, when there's no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. You see, in this present culture, you're in my hearts are pretty much whacked. And he knows your struggles, he knows your failures, he knows your shortcomings and all that. And he's committed to bringing out the best version of who you are. He's committed to that. And so what he does is he begins to give you a picture of who you are to him. Now, this is a real big point of application, and this is still the introduction of the message. And I just want to ask you to do this. Take some time to read the Word of God, if you've never done this, and ask the Lord to point out to you the best version of yourself. Take time and look in the Word and have the Lord point out who you really are to him. In other words, when I was being formed in the room, what were you dreaming about my life? Who did you have in mind? What did you have in mind for me? Is that good? Because Jesus has something in mind for you. Ask him to give you a picture of what he has in mind when he created you. Write it down and speak it over your life. Write it down and speak it over your life. Then, here, look at this. Go ahead and ask the same thing for your kids, for your family, for your grandkids, if you have grandkids, for your husband or your wife-to-be or husband-to-be or whatever. And just, here you go. Are you ready for the real big, big, big one? Ready? For the person who hurt you worst inside, the most, ask God what your original intention for that person was. Because maybe they hurt you because of the pain in their life. And then if you begin to see what they were supposed to be and you start proclaiming that, is somebody in here? Is that helpful? Because instead of just laboring under that sense of loss, you go ahead and begin to speak that. Man, let's just praise the Lord for a minute. Lord, I'm asking that you flood every heart here with revelation of who they are truly to you. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Bless your name. Bless your name. Hallelujah. After the Civil War, politicians and advisors urged Abraham Lincoln to punish the South severely for all the bloodshed that it had caused. Listen to this. This is the reply of Abraham Lincoln. Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends? And instead of penalizing them, he set up a magnanimous plan for reconstruction of the South. And when you begin to understand, some of you are nodding your heads, my prayer is that you'll have the revelation. Go ahead and put the verse up. This is Colossians 1, 21 through 22. It says, and you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. See, this is what God did with you and me. We were enemies, and he said, I'm going to make them friends. We were set against him in our own foolishness and pride and fears and bondage and all the things that we thought against God. And God says, I'm going to take my enemies, I'm going to make them my best friends through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is in the room because there's something that he wants to shift you away from, a certain attitude into an attitude of more the fullness of his love. The culture of God's heart is one of love. And through the redemptive power of Jesus Christ, he makes enemies friends. He reconciles people to him first. Let's praise him again. Thank you, Lord. You may be feeling a tug on your heart right now, and the Lord is just saying, I want you to let go of that person and give it to me. I want you to begin seeing the blessing that I have for you through this trial you've been through. So I wanted to talk about this best version of yourself. By the way, isn't it nice when you have at least one person on the earth that says that they can see it? Like a good coach, when you fumble the ball, they get you back out there. They believe in you. When you feel like you're not able to pull it off and somebody else believes that you can, let me just go ahead and tell you, that's Jesus. When you are struggling and you have given up on yourself, Jesus Christ has never given up. He knows what's going to happen in the next few days. He understands what a revelation of him can do in the human heart. He knows when you see how big and wonderful he is, that something shifts inside of you and you begin to change. And somehow the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ enters into the relationship. And you're able to do what you weren't able to do before. And you see who Jesus really is. And you end up like Peter. You can walk on the water for a minute there. You rise out of situations. Let's praise the Lord, somebody. You can rise up out of things, and God is here to cause you today to become a winner in an area you've been a loser. You don't have to yell loud and preach loud. All you have to do is have the one drop of the revelation of who Jesus is go into your spirit, and everything begins to turn right around. Because according to the Lord, the best version of you is on the way. The best version of you is just down the road. Your future is always going to be better in God's mind than where you are currently right now. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because you can know he has some good things in store for you. And you're not stuck with where you're at. Are you? If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's a good thing. I want to go ahead and step into our little points here with Peter. But I'm enjoying this so much because I love the ministry of the Word. And the ministry of the Word is when the application of the Holy Spirit begins to manifest in each heart. And there begins to be a place where you say, I see that God is equipping me to go beyond where I've been. And this is how the Lord is going to do it. Now, we're so self-centered. We're so into ourselves that we don't see the nature of what God sees. God's wanting to populate heaven with a bunch of little Jesuses, that we actually become like him. And the very thing that he does for you, he wants that what he's done for you to flow through you to someone else. And so the way that he loves you, he wants you to pass that on. I want to ask you a question. How many of you have disappointed the Lord over and over and over and over and over? And Jesus told Peter 70 times 7, you forgive, right? And so Jesus has been practicing that on you. So who are you to withhold the way he's dealt with you from somebody else? And that's where we all get clogged up. That's called constipation. And you need to deal with the enema of the Lord. I'm just having fun now. These are really bad puns if you go ahead and admit it. God wants to clean you out from all of the attitudes of being critical. This is what happens when you're critical. I'll get to the message here in a minute. This is the message right now. When you're critical, this is what happens. You begin to be critical, and this is what happens. You're critical of someone. Because when you sow criticism, you reap criticism. What happens next is you become self-critical. And it slips in on you. And after a season of being critical and self-critical, you end up building walls around yourself. And now you're in this encased, enclosed place that love cannot penetrate because criticism has built a barricade around your heart. And Jesus is on the other side of the wall, and he goes like this, "Hello, I love you. Hi, do you know how much I love you? If you were the only person in the entire universe, I would have died just for you. Hello, will you receive my grace? I have a desire for us to have a friendship and fellowship together." And here's what happens. The person who begins to receive that love in their heart will pick up a sledgehammer and start tearing that wall down themselves. Because criticism withholds the love. But when you get rid of the criticism and you start receiving the love, you start rising up. Anybody want to start rising up? Because you can be critical about anything today. I want to just go ahead and tell you, part of the critical spirit of today is the error of the lawless. That people get carried away in and lose their stability. But the remedy, of course, is to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here's number one on becoming the best version of you. Number one, the God of love knows where you are and will call you to become the best version of yourself. He knows where you are. And I don't know who you are today, but I know this. When Peter was out there Peter was fishing, you know, one day, and Jesus came walking up, and he knew where Peter was, and they were had been up all night, working all night, and it was just a bummer. They were like, "No fish. There's no fish. There's no fish. We've done the fish thing. We're all going to go home." And Jesus walks up on the shore, and he says, "Can I use your boat for a minute?" And he says, "Well, you know, go ahead." So Jesus starts preaching, and the word goes out. He starts ministering the life-giving words that come out of his mouth. And it's, who talks like this? My goodness, it's starting to affect the atmosphere. So Jesus affects the atmosphere of Peter's heart. The culture of Jesus' heart affects the culture of Peter's heart. Finally, he says, "Hey, you know, I want you just to set the boat out here and throw the nets out again." And they go, "What?" But there's something about Jesus saying something that's completely contrary to what you think you should be doing. And Jesus does that. He says, "I'm going to do something that's going to change the way you perceive me. I'm going to step into your life." And he throws the nets out over it, and the fish start filling up those nets. And they got the nets full, and they're filling up the boat. They go call up another boat. They get the other boat coming out, and they fill up two whole boats, and the nets are breaking in. The boats are about to sink, and it happens. It happens. And Peter gets to the shore, and he falls down at the feet of Jesus, and he says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinner." He has a revelation. He has an encounter of who God really is. And Jesus says, "You know, Peter, you've been a fisherman, but I'm going to make you a fisher, and you're going to catch people. We're going to take you to what I designed you for." And later on, he'd been traveling with him for a while, and he knew where it was. How many of you remember where you was when the Lord started talking to you about your life and about him? It was an interesting time, wasn't it? Because you're in darkness, and now God's... Some people grew up in church, and like my daughter, her testimony would be, "Well, gee, I always knew Jesus loved me because we told her since she was a baby." But a lot of folks living out in the world, living in darkness, they don't know this stuff. They struggle with this. And there's a work begins to happen, and you have all this constipation, so to speak. You have all this bad stuff stuffed up in you, and people have hurt you, and you got all your woundings and everything. And the Lord begins to woo you and draw you to himself. And he does something, and it begins to convince you, and it changes you. And you begin to get the picture of his grace and a picture of who you are to him. Some folks even travel with him for a while, like Peter did. Peter was already experiencing the things with Jesus and stuff, and finally they were sitting down on a hillside, and he says, in Caesarea Philippi, and he says, hey, who do people say that I am? And everybody said, well, you know, some think you're Elijah, some think you're, you know, Jeremiah or some of the prophets. And he says, well, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the Christ. You're the, this means Messiah. You're the one that's come to save everybody. You've come, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And, you know, Jesus has been around Peter long enough, actually Simon, because he hasn't named it. This is the moment he gets the new name. He's been around Simon long enough that that couldn't have come out of him. You can tell if you've been around somebody and you're sharing Jesus with them and they're stuck in their worldview, and next thing you know, they say something that's completely a God-given moment. You can pick up on it. God is actually speaking in their heart. Jesus looked up at Peter and said, flesh and blood didn't give you this, buddy. My Father in heaven spoke to you and revealed to you who I am. And the revelation of who Jesus was in that moment set up the revelation of who Peter was. And this isn't it something that Peter later says, you got to grow in both the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. You see, when you grow in the knowledge of Jesus, the more you learn who he is, the more you learn who you are to him. Some of you are going to learn that Jesus actually is Lord over your checkbook and that he wants to prosper and bless you. But you don't know that right now. But he'll reveal it to you. And you go, oh my God, he's the blesser of finances. Some of you have learned, hey, I remember the hard way I learned that. I was sick for 3 weeks and the Lord wanted to teach me I was his healer. I remember picking up the thermometer because I thought the fever was gone, and the fever jumped back on me. And I said, this is wrong. And I prayed for some elders of the church to come over, and we broke through, and I got rid of that sickness. And I found out Jesus is my healer. He'll cast the spirit of infirmity out of your house. He wanted to reveal. The more you learn about who Jesus is, the more you learn who you are to him and what he can do for you. And how he can impact you with this grace and rise up. Go ahead and elbow somebody and say, I think I'm getting some of this. Go ahead, tell them. Let's go to number two. Number two is God, the God of love, will develop your character. You can say ouch. Go, it doesn't matter. You can say ouch. The God of love will develop your character for you to become the best version of yourself. How many of you know sometimes it's an inside job pretty deep? How many of you found out the more you point at other people and say, if they were better, I'd be okay? If you're driving down the car on the road and your car is acting up, who have you pointed at the other car and said, it's their engine? No, it's your engine. Your engine's what needs working on. Your heart needs an overhaul. I didn't put the verse up here, but I want to read a verse to you. Peter is really just full of himself. And Jesus says these words. This is close to the time of the crucifixion. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you turn again, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, you'll deny me three times before the rooster crows. You're going to deny me. How many of you know that that all happened? Because Peter was full of himself. He was trusting in his own strength. He was trusting his ability instead of the grace of God. And he had to be winnowed. In fact, his own pride opened the door for this dealing of the Holy Spirit. Well, actually letting... God granted Satan permission because, you know, Peter is full of pride. And pride just allows the hell to come on in. So they're full of pride. Yep. There's something sometimes when you're full of whatever the devil's full of, he gets at you. And he pulls up, God permits him to work on you until what's like the devil gets out of you. Are you there? It's like a fiery furnace thing. And so what happened is Peter was so self-disgusted with himself for having disappointed the Lord and disappointed himself, he found out what was really in him. And, you know, most of us don't really know what's in us. When we want to go on and become the best version of ourselves, and the Lord is causing us to see, and we find out there's stuff in us that's just not really ready to get there. Jesus meets him on the shore and says, Peter, do you love me? And you know, he cursed him three times, and Peter was asked by Jesus, do you love me? And he asked him three times. Do you love me? Well, you know I love you. Do you love me? Well, you know I love you. You know all things. You know, well, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And next thing you know, Peter's healed of that. And guess what happens then? Not too many days later, on the day of Pentecost, the power of God's presence fills the room. Tongues of fire come on everybody's heads. 120 disciples are praying in tongues. The Spirit of the Lord is on them. They walk outside. There's the Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, all the different nations where the Jews are come from, they all come to celebrate the day of the wave offering. There's over 16, 18 different people group, Jews that speak different languages. These disciples come out of the upper room. They're all praying in those languages out loud. And they're so full of God's love, they're just walking around like they're tipsy. And guess who gives the message? He says, when you are strengthened, when you come through this, when you turn and come through this, you strengthen your brothers. And Peter stood up and said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. The bars aren't open yet. But this was what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit and on their sons and daughters. It says, we'll prophesy. And it goes on. He developed the character so he could carry the call. He developed the character so he could carry the call of his life. So I say, praise the Lord. God has a call in your life. You've got to develop the character to get there. Are you there? I felt the room fill up with something good right there. Because some of you are going, well, how come I can't get there yet? God says, we're working on you. We're working on you. Do you know so many people prophesy out of their own pain that other people can't really hear the Lord because they hear something, but it's filtered all through what's wrong with them. And you're always telling people what's wrong with you as if it's what's wrong with them. The Lord wants to bring healing to you. So what you say it's not focused based on all of what's going on in you. It's based on what God wants to do in them. Let's look at the last one here. Let's jump into this one. Number 3, the God of love will stretch your heart to love beyond your limits, for you become the best version of yourself. Stretch your heart to love beyond your limits. How many of you remember when the disciples were saying to Jesus, right before he was ascended into heaven, they said, now are you going to deal with those Romans? Now are you going to go ahead and get them? Is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel so that we can have a king? And he goes, this is not what we're doing. No, but I'm going to give you power. I want to give you power. And the Jewish people were taught that Gentiles were unclean. And God says, that's not my heart. In fact, years ago in the Old Testament, the goal of the Jewish people were to be the evangelists of the world. But they kept falling into their waywardness, and they never fulfilled their mission as evangelists to the world. So God sent Jesus Christ to be the evangelist to the world. And now he's gone, and he's filled Peter with his spirit. And now it's time for Peter to break through a barrier of prejudice. Do you have people in your life that you... Here's usually how it works. Those people, I wouldn't really... I'll help other people, but not those people. Anybody got some of those people? If you don't, that's wonderful. Are there people in your life that go, I could never really share Jesus with them. Somebody else is called to them. Let me explain. The reason Jesus has authority to speak to anybody is because he loves them. And love is the basis for all authority in the kingdom of God. He can speak to your life because he loves you and he died for you. And until your heart is filled up with that kind of love, it's very difficult, because anytime you share truth out of anything other than love, it comes off as critical. You need to turn. You need to quit your sinning. Well, what about you and that attitude? Is this helpful today? Because here's what happened to Peter. Peter was actually, there was this Roman, of all things, a centurion fellow named Cornelius, and he was giving alms to God, and he was very aggressive in his worship of Jehovah God Almighty, and he was seeking him, and the Lord began to, you know, send an angel to talk to him. And in the meantime, at this other place, which was totally cool, I love this story, because I was on a bus, and they pointed out the house, Simon the Tanner's house. I got to see it. And where Peter was on the roof there, and he was, you know, resting, and that's where he had a vision. And there was a big sheet that let down goats and, well, not goats, but pigs and stuff like that. They, what's considered unclean animals. And they let those down, and they said, the Lord spoke to Peter through this angel. And he says, rise, kill and eat. And he goes, but these are unclean. These are unclean. You can't eat the unclean. This is not kosher, you know. And he says, don't declare unclean what I've declared clean. And he does this vision three times. And Peter's like, I'm supposed to eat pig. He's like stuck, you know. And then the knock on the door, and here's some guys are saying, Cornelius lives down over here, and we need you to come over here with us. And he gets it. The vision was not for eating animals. It was for don't consider the Gentiles to be unclean. And in your mind, in my mind, there's God wants to take you beyond limits. There's maybe people in your heart that you say, well, they're unclean to me. And the Lord wants to break down that wall. Because Jesus died for everybody, no matter what. Are you here? And people full of pain already judge you anyway, so, you know, forget that. It's funny, when you get around somebody who truly loves, it just melts away all those preconceived ideas of what they thought you were. Isn't it amazing? Am I making any sense to anybody right here? I know you're considering this. So Peter goes to Cornelius' house and begins to preach. And before he ends up finishing his message, the Spirit of the Lord falls in the room and people begin to prophesy and speak in tongues. God says, Peter, I can't wait for you to get done. I love them so much, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. And Peter went back and told the elders in Jerusalem, he said, hey, the same way he poured out on us, he poured out on the Gentiles. Go ahead and say thank you to Jesus in front of somebody, because you're the Gentiles. He said, I love the world so much. And the point here is this. I believe the Lord is saying to us today as a congregation, I want you to go beyond the limits of what you thought or who you thought you could love. And that's a point of conviction, because some of you have prejudice in your heart, bias in your heart, criticism in your heart. Lord says, I want you to be done with all that. And I want to let my love manifest through your life. So let's go ahead. And if you wouldn't, let's stand together. We're at the end of this. Those that are going to be our prayer team, come on up forward. And if you're standing there and you're near somebody, how about just graciously put your hand on their shoulder? And listen, I want to pray this prayer with all of us. Just go ahead and touch somebody there, if you wouldn't mind. Wow, I want to recap right quick. The Lord wants to, with this touch, He wants to give you a flash into your mind the best version He has of you. He wants to see you at the top of your game, as blessed and open to Him. Some of you just saw a picture of yourself laughing and enjoying life, and you haven't laughed and enjoyed life for a while. And there's a joy that when you're at the top of your game, there's going to be a joy that rests in you. When you're at the top of your game, it's not about stress. It's about being connected to the God who gives you grace and the revelation of who Jesus is in and through your life. Somebody praise the Lord with me right now. If you're opening up your heart today for the first time, you say, Lord, I want to walk with you. That's what we want to do. We want to say, we want this to be a time when you can just come on down here and someone will pray with you and you open up your life to the Lord and say, I want to choose walking with Jesus. He's calling me. He's moving in my heart. He's talking to me. I want to do that. That's number one. Number two, there are issues that the Lord is walking you through And it's like the devil's all over you. And God's saying, I want to take out the pride. I want to take out the insecurity. I want to take out the fears. I want to work in your life and move in that way in you so that you can go to the next level that He has for you. And lastly, of course, He says, I want you to love beyond your capacity to love right now. I think everybody in the room is into that. So let's go ahead. Let me lead you in prayer. Father God, I open to you. Say, Father God, I open to you in the name of Jesus. And I repent for everything in me that would hinder the best version of who you call me to be. Forgive me for stubbornness, for fears, for distraction, for turning to other things other than your grace, other than who you are. Forgive me, Jesus. And now, Lord, expand my heart to love like never before. In Jesus' name, amen.